Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another segment of my Christian Walk. I'm broadcasting from Southern California. And today I'm going to continue with Genesis. If you like what you hear, please spread the news about my podcast, because I do this to help give you a message, if you will, about the necessity of recognizing who Jesus Christ is, was, and will ever be, the Alpha and the Omega. I'm reading from the book of Genesis, and I started doing this, y'all, the last broadcast, because, excuse me, as well as it is to present, you know, my personal tidbits about my Christian walk, which is the whole purpose of this podcast, I think that will help you, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. But I also believe getting into the Word and hearing the truth and letting the truth of God's Word resonate with you. As a believer, you're given the gift of faith, which is a gift. And the reason I know that is because I've had numerous arguments with people who do not have faith. And it's like, you know, it's like trying to hit a golf ball against a 50-mile-an-hour wind to a green that's 100 yards away. Very difficult. I'll use golf examples throughout these broadcasts. I'm actually going to go play golf before class today. I teach high school, and I always am mindful of getting out and doing a little nine holes before I start. Anyways, excuse me. Last I left, we were talking from the book of Genesis. The fall has occurred, and this is chapter 4. Let me get right into it. Adam made love to his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, what's interesting right away? You know, we have these debates about sex marriage, homosexuality, etc. Now, without getting too controversial, I'm not creating controversy. I'm saying that right here in the earliest book of the Bible, we have what God designed, a heterosexual couple procreating. And Eve says, with the help of the Lord. Now, this is very important. You can just gloss over that. But really, as I look at my life now, I'm constantly trying to reshift myself back. God, what is it that you want for me? God, what do you want to do in my life? God, let me stop trying to make stuff happen and just go with what you want. And so right away, Eve is giving to the Lord's omnipotence, the Lord's control in our lives, and that's what we should do. Something is happening to you, God is watching it. God is overseeing it. You got to trust, y'all. And it's not easy, man, because we want to fix crap. But right away, we see this in chapter 4. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. This is very important. I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm not a charitable person. I never have been. It's in my DNA. It's a struggle. I'm being honest. It's a struggle. Not charitable. And you know who that punishes, y'all, more than anybody? Myself. And God knows that. And just because it says God did not look favorably on Cain, is God really wrong to not look favorably on Cain's offering? I mean, look, what I love about the message, what I love about God is God, at the end of the day, y'all, is in charge of the whole thing. He's the wizard behind the scene. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're not doing. And this illustrates, this little passage, the intention of Abel and giving to God, which I do not do. I'm going to admit it, man. I don't. I have moments, but I don't. I don't give it to God. I don't give charitably, I should say. I don't have that. I'm like Cain, yo. But you want to know why I'm not like Cain in some respects? Because Cain gets actually pissed off and jealous because he knows, rather, he does not know that he's not giving the best to God. He's giving like mediocre, like crumbs. So God is not going to look favorably on that. And this is really an observation, an account of how we need to be real about what we are giving to God, because he sees it. And it's not like I'm trying to make God out to be punitive, but God is truth. He is truth. And it says, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now there's a lot that just went on before this action. So Cain and Abel, two different types of brothers. Cain is jealous. Cain is in denial. Cain has major issues because he doesn't see the truth. He doesn't see the truth of his actions, of his frugality, of his selfishness, of his stinginess. And you got to bet, I think, that Abel was the opposite. Abel understood the action of sacrifice. Abel understood the benefit of being charitable. So Cain talks him into going to the field, and Cain kills him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your... You know what I love? And I know skeptics and people that are not believers will look at accounts, and it's so obvious that their lack of faith makes for the statements that they make. The criticism. A non-believer will say, well, what do you mean God was, you know, he didn't know that Cain killed Abel? Why did God create us? Well, this is all just, you know, stemming from lack of faith, y'all. Because if you believe in Christ, if you believe in God, if you know God, you don't say crap like that. Because it's already in you that God is God. God is who he says he is. And that's like one of the most important tenets of the faith. I am the Lord your God. You will have no strange gods before me. God is a jealous God. And it's a good jealousy. God knows who he is. He doesn't need us to believe in him. It's that act of free will to submit ourselves and not think as Satan did. We don't need God. We can do whatever we want. There is no God. How many times do you hear people say that? That is reflecting what Satan says and what Satan said to Adam and Eve. The Lord said, what have you done? Listen. Oh, no, let me go up a little bit. I'm sorry. The Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? This is classic. I don't know. He replied, am I my brother's keeper? Ooh, Abel, you idiot. Or Cain, you idiot. Sorry, wrong brother. Cain, God already knows you killed your brother, yo. And you answer with, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's like not only busted. What's beyond busted? Busted. You're busted, dude. The Lord said, what have you done? And I think this broke God's heart. And I think he was angry. But, you know, the sin of the world has entered via the fall. That is what drives Cain to kill his brother. After the garden, after the incident with the serpent, after the choice of Adam and Eve to willfully partake in the fruit, the apple from the tree of good and evil, everything shifts. Now they're conscious of their nakedness. Now they're fully susceptible to temptation and to evil. And their nature is now unlike how they were created in the garden initially, sinful. Sky's the limit. What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood, God says, cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. This is interesting. I will be hidden from your presence. Now Cain is getting it. Look, this is how the devil works, man. It's a seduction. The devil gets to you by his tactics and ploys to get you to focus on what you want. Man, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, shit, man, this is like applying directly to my life. That's why I do this podcast, why I love doing it. I could learn from everything I share with y'all, because at the end of the day, it's giving it to God. It's giving it to God. Being content with what you have. It's appealing to God to work in your life, to rule, if you will, over you, to weed out these behaviors that we see here with Cain as he killed his brother Abel. But now Cain gets it. And he says, I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me. Now, I do think there's some very selfish behavior behind this. I think Cain's pissed, and he's not pissed, he's scared. I'm sure he's remorseful. I hope he is. Hope he was. Hope he is. Making up language. I hope he was. But more importantly, he's like, I want to get killed. People find out, they're going to kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain... This is like badass right here. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. See, God knows it is not in us to do retribution. It is not in us to kill somebody because we think we can. I'm going to tell you right now, this is kind of off topic. I'm for the death penalty. And I'll tell you why in another segment, another podcast. The Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And then we see the continual lineage of man. And I'm going to stop because it gets into other characters, but I do want to comment on this a little further. So when I chose to read Genesis, I thought, you know what? I want to get back to the beginning. I want to go to the beginning. I want to look at what happened in the garden. I want to look at the appearance of Satan after he'd been cast out of heaven with his rebellious angels, the tactics he used to persuade Adam and Eve to partake, and really change the identity of who we all were created to be. We were never created, y'all, to be mortals. We were never created to deal with the things we deal with in this mortal life. And God knows all this. And God knows that if we submit ourselves to Him, and it's not a one-time deal. I have a real big issue with the tenet of born-again Christianity that says, and it's, I have a partial issue, not completely. You know, you hear people talk about born-again and salvation, and once you give your life to Jesus, you are forever saved. I used to struggle with that, because it doesn't seem in my limited human understanding that that is really possible. And it is that way when you think of it from our mortal, finite mind, and we don't apply what God says and what Jesus says about the commitment God has to you, the commitment Jesus has to you. I believe even if you are struggling to the point where you're not believing based on your actions in God, as long, and God knows what this is, as long as you don't emphatically turn your back on God in complete sincerity and reject Him. And even if you do that, I think He's still there for you. He may not be working in your life. Case in point, if I said, I'm just going to reject the gospel and I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want and I'm going to go sin, I'm going to go do this. You know what happens at that moment? As Cain said, you get away from the Lord's presence. God will not be close to you in spirit because He can't, because God is righteous. You're making a choice, y'all. You're making a choice. Not believing in Jesus is making a choice, okay? So I will continue. I may skip a little bit of this kind of like, because Genesis does this sort of like census-like historical account of who came from who and yada, yada, yada. I don't think that's going to be really interesting. But I am going to continue in Genesis. Have a great day. Remember, submit yourselves to the Lord. Thank God for your blessings. Go to God every moment of the day and ask Him to rule your life and to lead you to His will for what is best for you. Remember, God wants the best for you. All right? Peace.